Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 26. Just to give you a roadmap for the next few weeks, today, as an introduction, we'll be considering the entirety of this passage. And then over the course of the next few weeks, we'll consider more practically and more specifically the various fruit of the Spirit, the various aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. That is my hope, my intention, Lord willing. But for tonight, Galatians 5, verse 16 to 26, it reads as follows. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Just so far in God's Word, let us pray. Lord, we have raised our voices in song, in worship, in faith that our God is worthy of our worship and that He hears our worship. And now, O Lord, we open our Bibles in faith that our God is worthy of this time. He is worthy of our attentions. And our God uses these words, His word, His truth, to speak to us even today. So in faith we come. Speak to us. Encourage. Challenge. Sanctify. Please, O Lord, speak. Speak not out of the multitude of my words, but from the truth of your word. May it be that this evening God has spoken in our midst. Please, O Lord, speak. May your people hear. May you be glorified in our midst, I pray. In your name, amen. Called this series this week, the coming weeks, I've called it The Lived Christian Life. The Lived Christian Life. The Christian life, in case you did not know, it has to be lived. has to be lived. Now, we know the answer to the question. If you are a Christian, at least you ought to know the answer to the question. What makes you a Christian? Existentially speaking, what is your origin story? If you are a Christian, you should know your origin story, and it looks like this. Jesus on the cross for our sins. That's all of our origin stories. Whether that found you in your youth or in your old age, it really doesn't matter. Whether that found you in Central Baptist Church or in some random church elsewhere, this is also a random church, but it doesn't matter. That is your origin story. Jesus on the cross for your sins have been paid for. You are no longer an enemy of God. There is freedom. There is eternal life, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. All those who have put their faith in Christ will be saved. That's your origin story. Great, great, great. Amen and amen. But Christian life has to be lived. And so after you have put your faith in Christ, once you have your origin story on lockdown, what happens next? What makes you a Christian today? Practically speaking, is there any difference between your life and the life of your unbelieving neighbor? Or is it just a matter of origin and destination? Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you going to heaven, and all of this in-between stuff doesn't matter. I think Paul is saying in this text it does matter. I think Paul is saying in this text, this is the way the Christian life should be lived. And the way it is lived, it should differ from the rest of the world. That's what the world looks like. This is what you ought to look like. Now, I don't think that's easy. We still a bunch of sinners. I'm still a wretch. You're still a wretch. But this is what the Christian life ought to look like. This is how the Christian life ought to be lived. And Paul tells us how to live it in these verses. How? Walking by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit. Firstly, walking by the Spirit. Firstly, that assumes something. That assumes you have the Spirit. Verse 16, walk by the Spirit. Just so far. Already, just in those four words. Just already in that, Paul has proposed something about you. And he's already established that earlier in Galatians. I'll read it. Galatians 3, 1 to 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? I'll add to that Galatians 4, 4 to 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. What is Paul's proposition? Salvation is not an isolated spiritual incident. You see your origin story, how you began? Didn't you begin by the Spirit? Haven't you experienced what it means to be adopted into God's family? And wasn't it the Spirit in you that caused you to cry out, Abba, Father? That Spirit? Walk in it. Walk in it. Remember, you didn't become a Christian. You didn't receive that Spirit by obeying the law. You receive that Spirit by hearing with faith. Walk by that Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. The Spirit of God, the divine being, the third person of the Trinity, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit that is in you. Walk by the Spirit that's already in you. Was there when you were saved. It's in you. Walk by it. Your Christian life has to be lived, and it is lived by the Spirit that is in you. Secondly, walking by the Spirit causes inner conflict. What does the verse say? If you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh because the Spirit and the flesh are at war. And because the Spirit is within you and you are walking by the Spirit that is within you, the Spirit wars against the flesh and it keeps you from doing the things that you want to do. You see the complexity of it? We are not coasting through life. It's not a picnic. We are being sanctified, yes, but Paul describes walking in the Spirit as conflict. And where is the conflict? The conflict is within us. I'm being sanctified, yes, but my desires are not godly desires. I am flesh and blood and sinful nature, and it wars with the Spirit. It opposes the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? It means walking in the Spirit costs something. If I am a glutton, walking in the Spirit means I may go to bed desiring more food. If I am prone to lying, if I feel good when I deceive other people, walking in the Spirit means I go to bed having swallowed my lies and there's now a dissatisfaction within me because I didn't get to deceive people the way I so enjoy deceiving people. If I am weak to sexual pleasure outside of a marriage bed, then walking in the Spirit means I go to bed and my flesh is dissatisfied because I haven't given it the pleasure that it wants. You get the picture. There is a reason why in verse 24 it says, those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. It's the denial of self. It's the picking up of the cross. It costs something. It hurts. It hurts. And it's supposed to hurt. This is war. And it is going on within you. Walk by the Spirit. This is no walk in the park. It is a war. There. Bombs going off all around. There are temptations. The evil one will taunt you. The evil one is prowling about like a lion looking for someone to devour. But the Spirit of God is in you. Walk by the Spirit. Now let's put those two truths together. Paul tells us that Christians have the Holy Spirit in them. And secondly, Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit in you is actually in opposition to your sinful desires. Do you see? Having the Holy Spirit is not a cheat code. It doesn't make life magically easier. If anything, it's a call to war. This is where the war starts. Walk by the Spirit. Thirdly, walk by the Spirit, not under the law. Verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What does it look like to be under the law? To be under the law means you are depending on your obedience to God's law for the forgiveness of your sins and for peace with God and to get you to your destination of eternal life. Your obedience is how you plan on getting there. That's what it means to be under the law. And Paul tells us early in Galatians, this is Galatians 3, verse 10, all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. So what is the curse? All have sinned. All have fallen short of his glory. And if you are relying on your obedience, you have already set yourself up for failure. And so you're cursed. Now against that backdrop, walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit is distinct from that. It's distinct. Paul isn't saying, now you have license to break every law. That's not what he means. And in fact, the objective hasn't even changed. God's holy standard remains the same. But Paul is saying what he teaches elsewhere, Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. See, God's holy standard remains the same. And you look at the law and you realize, I'm not living up to God's holy standard. Wretched man that I am. Now I'm aware of my own sinfulness, thanks to the law. So this external influence of the law tells us how sinful we are. But Paul is saying, we aren't under this external influence anymore. I still have God's holy standard in my sights, but I'm not depending on my obedience. I'm not depending on the law to get me there. I'm being led by the Spirit. That's how I get there. Led by this internal, divine, life-giving person of the Holy Spirit within you, within me. Those two things are worlds apart. What's the difference? One is trying to change a person from the outside in. Give someone a set of rules. Tell them how to live out the rules. Bada bing, bada boom. Man gives it his best shot. No, God isn't after man's best shot. God is after your heart. Jesus died for your heart that the Spirit may dwell within. And then from the inside out, you are transformed. And when that produces a life of obedience, it is not because an external set of rules were beaten into you and then you gave them your best shot. It is rather that Jesus died for you. And when you put your faith in Him, He sends His Spirit to dwell in you, and the Spirit transforms you internally, and that produces external fruit. One of those things is outside in, depending on human obedience. But the other is inside out, depending on the Spirit of God that we receive from the Son of God when we put our faith in Him. Walk by the Spirit. Inside out. Walk by the Spirit. Now there's two aspects in this passage. Actively, walk. It's a verb, do. But there's another aspect. Be led by the Spirit. So you see both the passive and the active in this text. And I'm going to illustrate that. In our youth group, there's this game that we sometimes play. Two teams on opposing sides. You get a representative from each team in the middle. These two people in the middle, they blindfolded, they spun around, and then they have to achieve some sort of objective. How do they achieve the objective? Their team shouts instructions to them, and their team shouts instructions to them. And they are in the middle, and they are blindfolded, and all they hear is chaos and noise. Now imagine that this would break the game. But imagine in the midst of all that chaos and noise, someone comes into the middle of that game and holds your hand and leads you. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And just have that picture in your mind. Passively, you're being led as you hold the hand in front of you. But actively, as the hand pulls you forward, actively you also walk in step with the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit, fourthly, from this passage, this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like, says Paul. And he gives us both sides of the story. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the one side. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What is Paul doing? What is Paul doing? Think of soldiers in an army. I like a good war movie, and in a good war movie, the two sides are distinguished. In a good World War II movie, you see the Germans with their dark green, I think, and they have that distinct helmet that they wear, and then the other side also has their own uniform that they wear. In Star Wars, the bad guys all wear black, and they have red lightsabers. And the good guys in contrast. What's my point? Paul is drawing a line in the sand. Christian, here's your uniform. Christian, here's what your life ought to look like if the Spirit of God is in you. And if you call yourself a Christian, but you're behaving like that. If you call yourself a Christian, but you're behaving like the world, you should be worried because those guys aren't Christians. They're not going to heaven. They're not inheriting the kingdom. Walk by the Spirit. But to take away misconceptions, to remove ambiguity, to remove any doubt in your mind of what the Christian life is and isn't. This is what the Christian life does not look like. And again, I'll repeat them: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, things like these. These things have no place in your Christian life. And Paul says, I'm warning you a second time, he actually says in the text. The people that do these things, they're not Christians. They're not going to heaven. They don't have the Spirit of God in them. They have no Christian motive. There is no Jesus. There is no salvation. They are of the world. Don't mingle. Don't let them set the example for how you live your Christian life. There's a line in the sand. That is the world. But this is what the Christian life does look like. This is what it means to walk in the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. See, we hear the word fruit in this text. Well, maybe I should say I hear the word fruit in this text. And I think to myself, seed, water the seed, small little plant, and then it grows and grows and grows. And then finally, a couple of years down the line in season, it produces fruit. Fruit. I actually don't think that's what Paul is saying here. Paul isn't saying, hey guys, read your Bibles. Trust that somehow the Spirit will nurture this seed in you. And in a couple of years' time, this is what your Christian life should look like. In a couple of years' time, here's the fruit that you can expect. Paul isn't describing a standard for the mature Christian or the older Christian or the Christian who's been in Central Baptist for 50 years. Paul is describing any Christian who has the Holy Spirit within them. Why? Because they put their faith in Jesus Christ. This is what the Holy Spirit looks like. Here's one way of life. It is flesh. It is sinful nature. This is what it means to belong to the world. And then here's this other way of life. It is the Spirit. It is life. This is what it means to belong to Jesus Christ. And if you belong to Jesus Christ, then you have the Spirit of God in you. And this is what life looks like. This is what a lived Christian life looks like. This is what it looks like to walk by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. These things, they will destroy you. But do you know, there's actually no law against these things. You will not break God's law by being too loving. You don't have to live in fear of being too loving or too joyous or too peaceful or too patient or too kind. You don't have to live in fear. This is what it looks like, says Paul. This is the Christian life. You know, I wonder sometimes. All this talk these days of personality. You can get a personality test. And then there's our characters, and we were nurtured in such a way to be the people we are today. And then there's the culture around us, and forgive me, the example in my mind, African time, European time. And then there's complexities, and then there's moods, and then there's emotions, and then, I know people are different. Yes, we are unique, but I wonder how often we hide our sin behind those things. This is what the Spirit looks like, says Paul. And really, this is the standard by which our entire lives can be measured. Before you worry about the Spirit leading you to marry the right person, ask yourself today, are you loving? Are you patient? Are you kind? Are you gentle? How do you treat people? I wonder. Genuinely, I wonder sometimes, people who call themselves Christians, but look at how they treat people. I wonder about myself sometimes. When I get to the end of the day and I look at the things that I've said and done, and all I see is flesh, 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 and self, self, self. Be warned. Paul says, that's not what the Christian life looks like. And then I have to remind myself to walk in the Spirit. I wonder sometimes Christians will tear each other apart based off of secondary matters. Christians will fight tooth and nail over vaccines and COVID and Trump and Israel and this and that. And maybe God has burdened your heart for those things. But even that, how you communicate that, how you deal with people who disagree with you, how you treat them, both face to face and even on social media, it matters. Even that ought to be governed by the Spirit of God that dwells within you. I wonder sometimes, we get carried away. There's theories of what a good leader looks like. The world has its theories, and a good leader should be assertive. A good leader, if you ask Trump, knows how to fire people. A good leader stands their ground. Christian CEO, does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Do you look different to the world? Do you treat the people who work underneath you different from the way the people in the world who have that authority treat the people underneath them? Christian doctor, does the way you treat people in the hospital differ from the way the unbeliever treats them? Christian PhD holder, and we could go on and on and on. All of us are governed by the Spirit of God that dwells within us. We are governed by it. And notice what's absent from this text. Paul doesn't give us any circumstance. The point isn't external circumstances adding up in such a way that I can be loving today. Paul is saying, from the inside out, this is the Spirit that dwells in you. This is what a Christian looks like. This is what you want to nurture in your attitude. If you want to call it a personality, call it a personality. But this is what you are after. Be patient. Be kind. Be loving. Be joyous. This is the Spirit of God within you. Christian, let's recap. Christian, here's your uniform. This is what a good Christian soldier looks like. Here is the Spirit of God. This is what the lived Christian life looks like. Christian, remember, you are not trying to fulfill the law outside in, but you are after the holiness of God inside out as you are led by the Spirit while also actively walking in the Spirit. Christian, remember, remember, this is war. The Spirit within you means you'll be at war with yourself. Christian, you will go to bed and your flesh will be dissatisfied. And that's okay, because the Spirit is against the flesh and the flesh is against the Spirit. Christian, remember. And when I have a bad day, I need to remember this. When I have sinned, I need to remember this. When I fall short of the fruit of the Spirit, I need to remember this. Just as you receive salvation through faith in Jesus, so too you receive the Spirit of God. So too, even now, you walk in faith that the Spirit dwells within you. And that's what we're trusting in. My obedience isn't getting me anywhere, but the Spirit within me. The Spirit within me. Let us pray. Oh Lord, I am conscious in this moment of how I've reached for things far beyond even my own understanding. Lord, if I have spoken in error, correct me. But Lord, that which was from your word, that which was true, that which was appropriate for the ears of the saints of God, oh Lord, would you plant that deep? Would you nurture that by your Spirit? Would you convict? Would you sanctify? Oh Lord, that our Christian lives would not just be Christian in name, but that they would reflect the very Spirit of God that Scripture tells us dwells within. Please, oh Lord. In your name I pray, to your glory do I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.